Good morning, Symphony, and welcome to our morning devotionals. We are continuing on in the book of Judges, chapter 7, verses 19 to 25. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, when they had just set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and smashed the jars that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the jars. They held in their left hands the torches, and in their right hands the trumpets to blow. And they cried out, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Every man stood in his place around the camp, and all the army ran. They cried out and fled. When they blew the 300 trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his comrade and against all the army. And the army fled as far as Bethshitta, towards Zerera, as far as the border of Abel Meholah by Tabith. And the men of Israel were called out from Naphtali and from Asher and from all Manasseh, and they pursued after Midian. Gideon sent messengers throughout all the hill country of Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites and capture the waters against them, as far as Bethbara and also the Jordan." So all the men of Ephraim were called out, and they captured the waters as far from Bethbara and also the Jordan. And they captured the two princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they killed at the winepress of Zeb. Then they pursued Midian, and they brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon across the Jordan. Amen. A quick recap. God had given Gideon a mission. He said, "I will be with you, and ye shall strike the Midianites as one man." We saw yesterday that God dwindled down Gideon's army of 32,000 men to a mere 300 to make it clear that they could not boast about their victory in themselves. God wanted to make it clear that he was their deliverer. I wanted to give a quick clarification about yesterday's devotional before we continued. I shared how Gideon overheard his fellow men who had a dream about the barley bread upturning tents in the Midianite camp. It was actually Gideon overhearing two Midianite men realizing that God had given Gideon into his hand Midian and all the camp. This is a significant thing because imagine being Gideon spying on your enemy when you hear them being afraid knowing that God is on your side. God knew, as shown in verse 10, that Gideon's hands would be strengthened and encouraged to go into battle after hearing this. Okay, now I'll read the previous couple verses to give context to today's passage. From verse 16, "And he, Gideon, divided the 300 men into three companies and put trumpets into the hands of all of them and empty jars, with torches inside the jars. And he said to them, 'Look at me and do likewise. When I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then blow the trumpets also on every side of all the camp and shout for the Lord and for Gideon.'" Now, at this point in the passage, it's dark in the middle of the night. Imagine being part of the Midianite army. You're probably sleeping in camp when all of a sudden you hear resounding trumpet wails from all around and flashes of bright light piercing through the darkness. All 135,000 of you are in sheer panic and flee as far as you can go. "Who is attacking us? The Israelites must have doubled the size of our army." But no, it was merely Gideon and the 300 men on the outskirts of the camp. They blew the trumpets from their right hands and smashed the jars that were in their left. They cried out, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." God confused the Midianites where they began attacking one another. Gideon then invites the men of Naphtali, Asher, and Manasseh to help cut off their escape, succeeding in even killing the princes of Midian. I want to talk about two main takeaways from today's passage. One, God's ways don't always make sense, but be faithful. Wait for the victory. It didn't make sense for God to choose Gideon. He wasn't a decorated commander. He was a young farmer boy from the least impressive tribe. He was a nobody. It didn't make sense for God to dwindle down his huge army down to 300 people by evaluating their water drinking style. It didn't make sense for the 300 to go into battle without any swords or weapons. They just had trumpets and torches with jars over them. Yet God was faithful and the victory came. In God's upside-down kingdom, he uses the weak to shame the strong. He finds sacrifices of the alabaster jar to be beautiful, not wasteful. Love over hate, forgiveness over revenge, redemption over shame, freedom over captivity, and life over death. What is the thing that God is calling you in your life today that may not make sense in the eyes of this world? Do not be afraid of the enemy. Obey God and wait for his promised victory. Number 2, God will always outnumber the enemy. A big contrast that is highlighted in this chapter is the sheer difference in size between God's army, 300 men, and the Midianite army, 135,000 men. Yesterday we noted that that's about 1 to 450 people. Have you ever felt overwhelmed by the enemy? I remember on the night right before my first inner healing session, I had the most disturbing nightmare I've ever had. I remember waking up so terrified that I couldn't even move. I felt frozen. Once I was able to get up, I couldn't stop thinking about it. I ended up writing a very detailed account of the email and sent it to Sunny, who was my inner healing counselor at the time. She told me she hadn't read it and told me to delete it right away and to not give any more thought to it. I remember being so confused. How could I not? It was so overwhelming. The darkness was too big. But she exhorted me, focusing on the enemy will make him disproportionately bigger and stronger than he actually is. Instead, worship God. Fixate your eyes and your heart on God and see what happens. Now, please entertain me for just a bit. I want you to put your thumb a couple inches away from your nose and just stare at it. The thumb represents the Midianites of your life. You'll notice that the foreground is clear and the background is blurry. Now, without moving your thumb, shift the focus of your eyes to the background. Your thumb should now look blurry and faint in comparison to the crisp background. The background represents God's vastness and magnifies how much greater and bigger God is than our enemy. When we have blinders on and only focus on our problems, we cannot see God for who he is. He becomes blurry. But when we focus on who God is and on his character, it changes the way we see our problems. It doesn't mean that the problem will poof, suddenly vanish away, but all of a sudden, the 135,000 doesn't look so big anymore. When we focus on God, he grows our faith and trust in him. And just like the Midianites, God has the power to make the enemy flee. So my question is this: are you focused on your weakness or the overwhelming presence of the enemy? Or are you focused on what God can do and who he is? Let's take some time today to reflect and chew on this passage. I'll close in prayer. God, we thank you that you are a God of victory. You are a God who uses people that don't have much to give you to advance your kingdom. And I thank you, God, that no matter how big or daunting the enemy may seem, that you are stronger, you are greater, your ways are higher than our ways, and we want to submit to your perfect hands today. So we thank you, God, that Lord, that in our obedience that you can move and really change the world, God, to be more and more like your kingdom. So help us, God, to really commit this day to you. Help us, Lord, to surrender it all into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.